the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. Just as man is destined to die once, and after death to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear again a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we find in the book of Hebrews a lengthy discussion and interpretation of the Old Testament worship system. Hebrews 9, which is our text today, has a discussion about the tabernacle and the temple institution and the major ceremony performed in there by the high priest, namely the Day of Atonement, or Yom HaKippurim, which is the name that the Old Testament gives to him, to it. This powerful ceremony is so important in the Old Testament worship system that we have one long and detailed chapter in Leviticus 16 dealing only with this festival. It happened once a year in the month of Tishri, which is either September or October in our calendar. This ceremony had three unique characteristics. Firstly, the high priest, the chief celebrant of the ritual, had on the special liturgical vestments made only for this day. Secondly, that was the only day in the year when the personal name of God, the sacred tetragrammaton, Yahweh, would be pronounced loudly in front of the Ark of the Covenant, in the tabernacle or in the temple. And thirdly, it was the only required day in the whole year when all people of Israel would be fasting. The performance of the ceremony was complex and would take a good time until its end. First, the high priest offers a bull as a sin offering and a ram as burnt offering on behalf of himself and his family. Then, with thick incense in the room, he approaches the most holy place, the inner room of the tabernacle or the temple. There, before the Ark of the Covenant, the high priest sprinkles first once and then another seven times the blood of the sin offering in front and on the propitiatory, the kaporet, the cover of the ark. He then would go out to offer a goat as sin offering, this time on behalf of the people of Israel. And for the second time, he would approach again the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of the Holies to perform the same sprinkling ceremony again. And back to the front court of the tabernacle, or the temple, the high priest then leads the scapegoat ceremony. And after this, he changes the special Day of the Atonement vestments for the ordinary priestly garments used for daily services. The text of Leviticus 16 declares that on this day, atonement will be made for you, and also, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. We also read in verse 33 of Leviticus 16 that this ritual indeed makes atonement for the priests and the people of the congregation. And finally, the verse 34 says that atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the children of Israel. Well, the writer of Hebrews has this powerful ceremony in front of his eyes, when he's writing chapter 9 of his book. This chapter is so rich, and there is a lot to learn from the text. This morning, I want to call briefly our attention to two points highlighted in verses 27 and 28 of Leviticus 9. Verse 27, the first half reads as follows: just as man is destined to die once. The NIV employs the verb to destine. The Greek verb he uses apokemai, which has several usages. Generally, it means to be stored up, to be reserved, and also could mean one is destined to. In our case, in this passage here, the verb has the colloquial meaning of to be in store for someone. Thus, it's more than obvious that the text says that there is something in store for the human being. The humankind will necessarily go through this reality. It's not an option, and it cannot be changed. Then we ask, what is it that it's in store for all of us? The text is clear. It's the reality of death. Verse 27 reads, just as man is destined to die. This is bad news. This is law. This is the future, the destiny of human being. And we know why. It's the result of sin. As Paul has said in Romans 6, for instance, for the wages of sin is death. Should we wait eagerly for that day? I suspect that not really. This reality of death puts us down. We do not want to die. We were not created for death. Death is an intruder on the face of this earth. The plain truth is that we do not want to experience death. We always try to go to the best doctor, to buy the most reliable health insurance. If necessary, we are ready to pay any price to the hospital to keep us alive. But death is just a flat reality. We live in the midst of death. We are literally scared to death when we found out that cancer, HIV, heart disease, or any other serious disease is around our body. Who of us has never attended the funeral of someone of our close relation? Perhaps a close relative, or even our father or mother of one of our children? This is the sad reality. Death is there. Unless Christ comes first, we will surely go through the reality of death. But we would be the most miserable of the creatures of this world if this was the last word of our text about our human condition. But our text continues and reads as follows. Christ was sacrificed once to bring salvation. Yes, there is good news. In the day of atonement, the high priest entered the most holy place of the tabernacle, bringing in his hands the blood to be sprinkled on the cover of the ark. That meant that the blood was offered to God to appease his holy wrath and for the forgiveness of the people of God. Hebrews understands this, that this is a type of Christ. The envy type, the real sacrifice, is the one done by Christ to provide salvation for the human being. In other words, Christ's death for us bring us life. As the text says, Christ was sacrificed once to bring salvation. This is all good news. This is the reversal of death. This is the center of the gospel. To all of those ready to go to death, there is a message of life. It's that simple. There is life in the blood of Christ, who was offered on our behalf. There is life in the blood that was presented and sprinkled on the kaporet in the Day of the Atonement. The ritual of the Day of Atonement was a ceremony of life. It cleansed the tabernacle and also cleansed the lives of the Old Testament believers. Hebrews' interpretation is right. In and through Jesus' blood, we do have life. This is the chief task of Jesus, to bring life to the human being. As Jesus himself has said, I am the light, ego emi hetzoe, or in Aramaic, ani hahayim, I am the life. And also in John 10, I have come that they may have zoe, life, and have it to the full. Paul the Apostle has written in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we do not need to be afraid of death. In Christ there is victory over death. By virtue of Christ's offering of his own blood, death was conquered. There is life, yes, there is life in the one who is the life, and life to its full measure, eternal life. What then is left for us? It's simple. Just to believe, to receive it, to cling to Christ, to live our daily Christian life. Therefore, our task in this seminary is to be about a theology of life. We want to preach life in Christ. We want to walk in the paths of the one who is life. We want to be witness of Christ and bring the life that shines in this world. Here, we have the privilege of dealing with life in our daily tasks on this campus. After all, daily handling of the word of life is our chief task on this seminary. And last, but certainly not least, we should remember today that today is the 10th of November. It's the birthday of someone who is very dear and important to us, for us. And who is he? You know, it's no one less than Dr. Martin Luther. If he was still alive today, he would be 520 years old. We do not want to forget this date. And I would like to finish this sermon with a quote from Dr. Luther's commentary about our text, Hebrews 9, as follows. Beginning of quote, "The sacrifice of the New Testament is perfect and has ceased completely so far as the head of the church, who is Christ, is concerned, but the spiritual sacrifice of his body, which is the church, is offered from day to day when the church dies constantly with Christ and celebrates the mystical Passover, namely, when it slays, lusts, and passes over from this world to the future glory." End of quote. Amen.